aspirations are going on in Lafourche.
So that's exactly right, Gus. I think you gave a great sports analogy. Or is trying to figure out where a slice is going to land, or where a knuckleball is going to land. I mean, it's virtually impossible to figure out, and that's why we've had so much trouble, or we've seen meteorologists have so much trouble trying to predict where these things are going to go. I mean, this thing is just entering the Gulf of Mexico, and the forward speed is going to only increase from what we understand. According to the National Weather Service earlier today, this thing could be at a rate of about 25 miles per hour. And I'm not talking about wind speed. I'm talking about forward speed of the storm as it grows through here. So the bottom line is this thing is moving quickly, so there's a lot of positive to that. The negative, of course, is how it's coming in and where it's projected to hit, and pretty much everyone in your listening area will be affected in some way. Now, over in Lafourche Parish, of course, we're neighboring Jefferson Parish, which is where you guys are at, and, you know, ultimately, we're looking at a lot of similar impacts. The closer to the center of the storm that we are, the more significant impacts. Now, Gus, I mean, you know, we're all preparing for hurricane conditions in Lafourche, certainly in Jefferson, especially in Grand Isle. But we've experienced worse over the years, no question. But we've been in the forecast cone six other times this year, but this right. is likely to be our worst storm of the season. And that's what we're talking about. The primary threat with this one is the wind. We expect in Lafourche Parish at least tropical storm force winds throughout the parish from north to south, and probably hurricane force winds at least on the southern end, if not kind of trickling into the central part of the parish. And the main issue with that is widespread power outages, you know, tree limbs coming down on the roadways, potentially some temporary road closures. But, you know, wind, rain, storm surge, all that's definitely going to be there, but wind being the biggest impact.
Now, this sucker is going to be moving. Right now I'm looking at the latest forecast track from 1 p.m. and Wednesday, 7 a.m., 85 miles an hour. It's in the middle of the Gulf there, Brennan. And then by 7 p.m., dinner time, it's going to be on shore. It's going to be hitting the Louisiana coast. So the good thing about it is what I saw yesterday, and it looks like it's speeding up. By midnight, it's in Mississippi. Like, by midnight, it's in Mississippi. Yeah. By Thursday morning when you wake up to go to school and work at 7 a.m., if things are okay, it's in Alabama. It's almost in Georgia. So it is, like you said, it's going to move. Now, that means you prep. I got up this morning. I took 30 minutes. I put down Halloween just so things didn't fly. I mean, it's the smart thing to do, right, in case you get tropical storm force winds or hurricane force winds, loose debris, things like that. We know the drill.
Yeah, look, that's the biggest thing. For Delta, our last storm here in Lafourche Parish, I think it kind of snuck up on people, and people, mm-hmm. you know, didn't take it as seriously as they should have. And to date, that was the worst wind and weather that we had all season. And because of that, a lot of people saw a lot of flying debris around their neighborhoods. Well, this one has the potential to be even worse, and it's forecast to be even worse with again, wind speeds could see, hurricane force winds. So, for sure, you want to secure everything around your property. I know I'm going home tonight. I got all the patio furniture. I got to tie down the swing sets and everything else and make sure nothing flies away. Halloween decorations is another big thing. That's all. I know you've got some, Gus. Mm-hmm. I know that. So that's something you've got to pick up and make sure is secure. Probably end up taking that inside to make sure it doesn't fly around the neighborhood. The other thing is trash. You don't want to put any debris by the roadside, because that's not going to likely to be picked up before the hurricane hits. And if your trash passes tomorrow morning like mine does, at least in Lafourche Parish, I can right. tell you that they are doing trash routes early tomorrow. So as soon as that's done, you need to pick up those trash cans and put them inside, because those are going to blow around as well.
Obviously, in our parts, Brennan, low-lying areas that get water on a thunderstorm in the summer, they're going to get water with any kind of storm surge. You know how that is. If I need sandbags, is there any places to go get some?
Yeah, there's tons all over the parish. It's the usual places. Our residents tend to know what those are. A lot of the field offices in various locations. You can check those locations out on our website, on our app, or on social media. You know, to your point, Gus, we are going to see some storm surge effect. We do expect LA1 below Golden Meadow to go underwater, as it typically does, even in a high tide sometimes, so certainly with a storm. In fact, to that point, just before I came on the air, Parish President Archie Chasson ordered a mandatory evacuation to go into effect tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock for all areas below the Leon Terrio Lock in Golden Meadow. So that's going to include Port Fouchon, I don't have the latest status on Grand Isle in neighboring Jefferson Parish, but I would assume that we have similar orders going out there. So bottom line is, once LA-1 goes under, nobody's getting in or out of Grand Isle or Port Fouchon, for that matter.
That's true. We have Scott Walker, councilman for Jefferson Parish, coming up at 2:45 to give us the JP situation. So there you go, Brennan. Anything else you like to get in here in the next minute and a half here that you think is of note, places to go or things of that nature?
Yeah, definitely check us out at LaFouche SO on Facebook or Twitter to get all the latest information, and, of course, our website, lpso.net. But most importantly is probably our mobile app, LaFouche Parish Sheriff's Office app. It's free, and we do push notifications. We just did one for the mandatory evacuation for school closures. By the way, all public Catholic schools are closed tomorrow, as well as L.E. Fletcher Technical College. They're all doing virtual learning. We're still waiting on word from Nicholls State. We expect them to go virtual as well. But otherwise, you know, again, complete all your storm prep today. You don't want to have anything left to do when you go to sleep tonight.
Yeah, a little cloudy. Sun is out there, though, but the rain's going to be later this afternoon, so go get it done. So, Jordan, you heard that? That means you still got to go to school tomorrow, all right? You still got to do it virtually.
I have all my classes online.
Well, that's what he just said. Exactly right. He's trying to get out of it, Brennan, already. He's trying to claim the hurt.
I've never said anything.
Of course he is. I'm still trying to figure out his Tom Brady's not an MVP candidate discussion from earlier. That one, well, he lost me on that one.
What would you call Sunday's game for the Saints and Bears?
I am leaning toward the must-win category. I see the argument for the trap game, but I think it falls short.
Okay, so must win with John Forkett over here. Thank you, Brennan. Appreciate the info. And again, go get that app. It's super easy to go. And obviously, you're going to have your phone and charge. That's something else to think of. Charge your phone today.
Oh.
Again, it's 7 p.m. tomorrow is when it hits on shore. So tomorrow morning, keep your phone on the charger. Get it nice and charged and ready to go in case you do need to be able to communicate with people.
And your power bank. Don't forget to charge that, too. Don't just expect that it's charged up from last time. Make sure you plug that in tonight to make sure that it's charged so that when the power inevitably goes out, you'll have that backup ready.
Yeah, it'll likely happen. So, thank you, Brennan. Appreciate the info.
Thank you, Brennan.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. 800-998-1003. Again, in a matter of minutes here, we will have at the top of next hour, we'll be monitoring.
Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, no, I was looking at something else. Stan Van Gundy, introductory press conference. It's going to be Mrs. Benson as well with David Griffin. And at 2:45, Scott Walker is going to join us to talk about Jefferson Parish and their preparations as well. Again, LaFouche, Jeff, well, I think Plaquemines, right, would probably be the parishes that are probably going to be most affected to it.
Well, yeah, definitely Plaquemines Parish.
So, keep an eye on it. Obviously, the tracks, it stayed the same, folks. We're not going to dodge this one. So the good thing about it, it's going to be here, and it's going to go. But you're looking at 4 to 6 hours of wind, and then you wake up Thursday morning, and we're good to go. Go put your Halloween decorations back out, and then Saturday's going to be awesome. So just got to get through tomorrow. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
At Sport Clips Haircuts, we are on a mission to help veterans with their education through the VFW Sport Clips Help a Hero Scholarship Program. Through generous donations from people like you, we've raised $8 million and awarded 1,750 scholarships to deserving veterans across the country. And on Veterans Day, November 11th, Sport Clips will donate an additional dollar for every haircut we give. Help us continue this honorable mission. Visit SportClips today and help a hero.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John. Hola, amigos. We are awaiting the introductory press conference from Stan Van Gundy. David Griffin and Mrs. Benson will be a part of that as well. When it comes up live, we will go to it. John Forcade in studio with you today here as well. Jordan Kleber. We haven't argued nearly as much. You see, you're almost like a marriage counselor, John. Has anyone ever told you you're a calming effect? Because Jordan and I haven't yelled. Counselor. We haven't yelled at each other in hour number two. Now hour one,
a little bit different.
A little bit different.
Depends on the topics.
Well, I mean, you know, that's how it works there. We do have two questions of the day, Jordan Kleber.
Yes, those two questions are, do you think Tom Brady is an MVP candidate? I said not yet, and you, Gus, say absolutely. Saints fans, is this week's game against the Bears a dangerous or a trap game? I think it is somewhere in between a trap game and dangerous after y'all kind of talked me into the whole what is a trap game and
yeah,
the
definition.
Yeah,
you need a definition of a trap.
So I'm starting to lean more over to you guys' side. And you can answer those questions by commenting or calling in 800-998-1003. Tweet at us over on Twitter at ESPN Radio New Orleans.
And we also talked about, like you mentioned, Jordan, must game, trap game, must win. I said dangerous game just because you're going to hear a lot of talk when it comes to the Bears. Max Kellerman last night.
This looked like a team heading into this game. I thought it could be Super Bowl contenders, but they were exposed against the Rams last night.
What?
The issue starts on the offensive line. You could blame the coach, whatever, and Aggie did not have a good game. But the offensive line can't stop, especially a pass rush like the Rams, but they also can't block for the run. So you could see Nagy thinking, okay, it's not the most dynamic offensive team. Let's establish the run. And I get that, right? You have to kind of be dedicated to that or it'll never happen, even if you're not having success early. Without that offensive line, you forget the play calling and everything else. Without protecting the quarterback and blocking for the run, they will not be going anywhere in this year's playoffs.
So, did you think they're exposed, or do you think they are who they are?
I think
John?
They are who they are. I didn't pick the Bears to be a playoff caliber team this year. I thought they might be better than what people give them credit for. Actually, I thought Minnesota would be a lot better than the Bears. But listen, they got their problem. When you already changed quarterbacks in week three, that's your problem right there. When it brought Nick Foles in, first off, I thought that was a mistake because he cut a run. Trubisky doesn't bother me. I mean, you could have gone with the kid. I think the kid's not a bad quarterback.
He was 2-0.
He just smiled like Christmas morning.
Yeah, no, but at the same time, to John's point, you pulled the kid after.
No, I agree with you.
After he won you two straight games, and he was only – he still had a full half of football to play.
Well, let's go to the head coach, Matt Nagy. Nagy, however you want to call it. And is there a core issue on your offense?
This is hard. You know, I've never been a part of this before. So this is – it's a situation where it's for all of us very frustrating, trying to figure out answers. And, you know, the hard part is when you care so much and you're trying so hard to figure out, you know, that identity and where we're at and the why part, that's the part that stings, you know? It's like just trying to get that thing right, and it hasn't happened. So we have to look at across the board. We have to look at everything. And we've been doing that, and you get out here and, you know, we got to start fast. And when you come out and all of a sudden you get a penalty – it just kills the drive, you know, and penalties hurt. You cannot have penalties early on in the game. And then when you have situational football, you can't have penalties in fourth and one to get a first down and move the sticks. As hard as we're making on ourselves right now, you can't have penalties.
Yo, John.
My take is just listening to that little clip, this guy's lost. He's grasping for answers and trying to figure things. If you don't have it figured out now, what's your philosophy or what's your offensive? I mean, he's talking mostly about the offense, nothing on the defensive side of the ball. And this guy's grasping. He's trying to find answers and trying to, you know, point fingers the other way. This is not a real good offensive-minded team.
Jeff Saturday on the Bears offense on ESPN earlier today.
This is as ugly as it gets. They don't have any plan of how to protect Nick Foles, or if it was Trubisky or whoever is going to be the quarterback in Chicago. They don't understand how to get things blocked up. And when you look at last night, it told you everything. They can rush. The Rams could rush four and get pressure on Foles because he didn't know where to go with the ball, and they would green dog, which means bring the linebacker late if the running back goes to help to add on that fifth rusher. And again, nobody understood. There was a great example of this when they were backed up in their own end zone. They missed. They had two guys trying to block three. We call that happy hour, right? Two for three. Foles throws, the receiver double moves, doesn't get there in time, just miss. Well, guess what? You can't just miss in the NFL.
Very true.
Yeah, he ought to know. He played the most support position on the offensive line to get the thing started right up front. If you can't happy hour, I think that's a good term up to start using, because they might have been all out on happy hour in that
game. So I played this earlier, and it was Brian Greasy in the Monday Night Football broadcast saying, hey, look, Nick Foles told us in the broadcast meeting that there are certain plays that are called that I know as he's calling them, there's no way I'm going to have enough time to call this play. That's probably not a good thing, John.
No, I heard that too.
As a quarterback.
When you got a quarterback knowing that this play can't last long enough, you don't have enough time.
Well, people heard that.
Yes.
Because you don't have to be in Chicago for the presser because everything's on Zoom. So
correct.
Nick Foles was asked about it.
Well, what he was trying to – so when Coach Nagy and I talk on the sidelines, we'll go through plays in different situations and go through the defense, and I'll be honest, like, hey, you know, right now maybe get the ball out quicker. They're bringing some pressures, whatnot. So we were talking about game situations and game, you know, different, you know, Coach Nagy and I's conversations and our relationships. So part of that was, you know, the detail, hey, maybe we don't have the time right now for this type of drop because of what they're bringing and the pressures they're bringing. It's easier with that to, hey, 1-2-3 ball out. So that's where the miscommunication lies. Is those are actually conversations Coach Nagy and I have on the sidelines, so that when we go to the field, we're ready to roll. And I think that's a valuable relationship I have with him to be able to talk like that and understand specifically. And y'all heard me talk about, you know, each game is its own entity, so you have to understand how to play it in the appropriate way.
So what does he mean by that?
Well, he was jumping around. Basically, let me put it in a nutshell. He was not very happy with the play calling by Nagy because he said, basically, I don't have time to throw this pass play because we aren't blocking up front. I mean, he could have got that done in 10 seconds and taking the 2.5-3 minutes that he said. Basically, he's saying is the play selection wasn't really that good in this football game because we just can't block anybody.
He sounds uncomfortable.
Yes, he does. That's why, because he really didn't finish his comment. He was jumping around to basically saying, you know, we just don't have time to throw it. You know, I don't like the play selection, and we don't have time.
He's a bad coach.
Oh, throwing the coach.
Saying this. I've said it last year.
All right.
He's a bad coach.
Lewis Riddick, Monday Night Football, had this to say last night on SVP.
These are the kind of problems you can't really fix during the regular season. So we're going to be talking about them all year long because you can't make players stronger, faster, bigger, to the point where all of a sudden now that he has more protection, he can stand back there in the pocket, he can push the ball down the field. Their margin for error, Scott, is about like that on offense. And if the defense isn't playing up to snuff or the special teams aren't making big plays, every game's going to be a grind. And when you come up against a team like this that can match you blow for blow, and they may have better personnel, this may be the result. So I'll tell you what, for Chicago Bear fans, strap in. It's going to be that kind of a season.
You have to agree with him, because if he's commenting on what he saw that football game. And I've said this all along, the Bears aren't what everybody thinks they are. They just got a good defense and a very horrible offense.
So I asked you, well, I brought up he sounds uncomfortable. as a point. And secondly, I wanted to play that because he says they're unfixable, which is why I'm going to a dangerous game, right? Because I'm going to hear that all week. I got it peppered last night with that. These two guys are going to, let's communicate, let's talk. I'm not saying renewed energy or renewed form or anything of that nature, but I just wonder if that's sort of the thing that that can be fixed or not.
Well, can't fix it now. You gotta, you know, you could prepare, you could change some things up. Look, they got to show up Sunday and play the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. They all know that. Are they capable of winning this football game? Yes, they are. Okay. I mean, it proved that when the Tampa Bay came in there. But if they're getting, if they're having issues now that's a little more outspoken, quarterbacks talk about, I mean, the head coach about maybe changing, get somebody else call the plays, quarterbacks kind of calling them out now. You didn't hear about this when they won prior to that against the Carolina Panthers. Everything's hunky-dory. You know, after one loss, you got a lot more being said after one loss than what you've had all year long. So they might have some issues with this football club.
So, look, it'll be interesting to kind of hear from that perspective. Buddy, do us a favor here. They're pulling up the presser now. So let's take the break early. And when we come back, we'll hear Stan Van Gundy introduced. And we will take that live here on the air on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Etel Business. Your business, our priority. Business is fast, so you need to stay ahead with internet, phone, and Wi-Fi that's even faster. For a limited time, when you purchase two business services, you get 3 months free. That means your business is backed by Etel's reliable network, powered by local experts. Save now on the speed you need to run your business and get 3 months free with two or more services. Call 798-7952 or visit etelbusiness.com. Etel Business. Your business, our priority.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Did you know the effects of low testosterone are not only physical? You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life, emotionally, sexually, and even sleep patterns. Irritable, bad mood, can't concentrate, can't remember things. Hormone balance can help you be your best self, improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590. To schedule an appointment today.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. The press conference about to start here in a matter of seconds here. Mrs. Gail Benson will speak first, and then David Griffin. And Trajan Langdon looks like a set up there. Stan Van Gundy is ready to go here. Again, this is now all a Zoom introductory press conference. So
Mrs. Benson, she is on mute.
All right, so we're trying to get Mrs. Benson unmuted. Have you done a Zoom presser? Or, yeah.
I was just on one the other day at the Ole Miss, the Grove Report. Yeah, I've done it a couple of times. Okay. You got
to
do
that.
I like
it like this, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it's not bad if you're doing it. Yeah, it's not bad. Just make sure you... You don't go on video Zoom, and if you're doing
you got to
turn off certain.
You can mute your video. You can mute your video.
You got to know how to do that.
Jordan, mute your video at all times.
Oh, I'm muted right now.
Yeah, I'm muted as well.
So. You're muted.
Yeah.
Are you showing your face right now?
No, my camera is broken anyway.
That's right.
Remember?
That you think of, that you know.
No,
make sure it's
no,
broken. Make
my,
sure.
My camera is done. If anyone would like to sponsor a new camera, feel free to do so.
She's still mute.
Okay.
There we go. This is Pelicans governor, Miss Gail Benson, as she will give her opening comments remarks.
So, again, thank you, Greg. Welcome, everyone. And I'd like to welcome again everyone today. Even though we're doing this remotely, it is still a very exciting day for our New Orleans Pelicans organization. Thank you again all for joining us. Our entire organization is so pleased to welcome Stan and his wife, Kim, and their four children to the Pelicans family. Stan has had a tremendous record of success as a head coach in the NBA. He is regarded as one of the most innovative and respected coaches, and I am personally excited as well as our entire organization to get ready for the start of the next NBA season, which could be very soon. We know that Stan brings a very strong basketball mind to the game. He demands accountability and will provide great leadership for our young team. Finally, I want to acknowledge the hard work that David, Trajan, Swin, and our Pelicans front office put into the interview process. We were purposeful and deliberate, and we got the coach that we wanted. I am so excited for the upcoming season and cannot wait to get back to playing basketball in the very near future. Now I welcome our Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Benson. As Mrs. Benson mentioned, we feel like we absolutely got the right guy and the right person for this job, for the right fit at the right time for our team. I'd be remiss if I didn't start this by thanking Alvin Gentry. Alvin, in the time that he was with us, represented our team in this community at the highest level. We're very appreciative of that. And more importantly, we're very appreciative of the fact that Alvin shared very positive thoughts with this organization in terms of our ability to move forward and build a winner with all of our different coaching candidates. And I think in large measure, that helped us land the pool that we were getting to look at of candidates. Trajan and I have talked about that. We were benefited by having an incredible pool of candidates that wanted this job, and in no small measure, he was a part of that. So we thank him for that. Relative to Stan Van Gundy, this is a process where Trajan, Swin, Bryson Graham, and myself, and many others of our front office team, interviewed 9 total people in one fashion or another. We set up a criteria, a very clear criteria that we cared about for what we were seeking in the next head coach. And we took a great deal of time to do that. We've talked to many of you offline from a media perspective explaining why we were not in a hurry. And as fate would have it, maybe the season's going to be on us sooner than we thought. But the reasons for that were multifold. And one of them was we wanted to take enough time to really analyze our team, get a feel for who we felt like we really were, and do that without the sting of what had just happened in the bubble sort of resonating daily with us. We wanted to give ourselves a real opportunity to know who we were and what we needed. And I think what we very quickly discovered in our interview process was that Coach Van Gundy gave us the best possible optionality. Coach Van Gundy, in his 22-year coaching career as an assistant and as a head coach, 12 years as a head coach, has proven he's a coach who's going to win an awful lot of regular season games, winning almost 66% of his games in Orlando, better than 60% of his games in Miami. And for his career, has a winning percentage above 500 in the playoffs, which is really, really rare. So this is a proven winner, and this is a coach who can win right now. But more importantly to us, it's a coach that's a teacher and a very sincere, authentic human being who's going to build long-lasting relationships with our team. And because we look at this team as just now scratching the surface of what we hope is a very long, sustainable run, Coach Van Gundy was obviously the selection for us because in addition to giving us the best chance to win in the short term, we feel he gives us the best chance to build a sustainable winner in the long term. And for that reason, I know Trajan and I are honored to introduce you to our next head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, Mr. Stan Van Gundy.
He's on mute.
Coach, we need to unmute your line.
Always forget that part. Thanks to Mrs. Benson and to Dennis Lauscher, to David Griffin, Trajan Langdon, Swin Cash, Bryson Graham, and the entire front office for giving me this great opportunity. I was really enjoying being a TV analyst. I wanted to coach again, but only if we could find an absolutely great opportunity, and New Orleans had it all. First of all, a governors and executive group that has proven that they know how to win at the professional level as the football's over Greg Bensel's head and behind Mrs. Benson, as they spoke, indicate. And on top of that, a group that is totally committed to the New Orleans community, which is important to Kim and I as we were looking for people to work for. And then David Griffin's proven ability to build championship-level teams, but also we were very impressed with the front office team that he has put together in New Orleans and the family atmosphere that he is trying to build within the organization and within our basketball team. And then, of course, it's a very exciting roster, a mix of very talented young players and some productive, high-character veterans. And then finally, a great city that Kim and I are excited about and can't wait to live in. And then probably when we knew for sure that we had made the right decision was last night when the communications team told me instead of jacket and tie, I could wear a polo for the introductory press conference. Okay, so I knew right then I was on it. While Griffin, Trajan, and their staff are in preparation for the draft and free agency, we're also all already at work getting ready for the season, hiring staff, working together to hire staff. I'm trying to get to know our players. I've spoken to all of them, starting to meet with them in person and spending time studying film. I can't wait to get back on the court and to try to build a tough, disciplined team that truly won't bow down. And finally, to the people of New Orleans, my wife and I can't wait for the opportunity to represent the city and to immerse ourselves in the community. We're more than excited to be a part of the New Orleans Pelicans organization and to get started trying to build a winner here.
You're listening live to the Stan Van Gundy introductory press conference by the Pelicans.
Thank you very much, Coach. We're going to open it up to questions now. Just as a reminder, if you can please state your name and affiliation prior to asking your question, that would be great. We're going to lead off with Fletcher Mackel.
Coach, welcome to New Orleans. So many questions. I get one, though, so I'll try to make the most of it, at least to start with. Was there one final thing? You just went through a Marriott of things, the city, Mrs. Benson, David Griffin. Was there one final thing that potentially sold you or that you sold them on that made this the decision that it is? Was it Griff? Was it Mrs. Benson? Was it the roster? If you could pinpoint maybe one thing specifically.
Well, Fletcher, thanks. I mean, that is hard because it really was all of those things. I mean, there were so many great things, and there truly was not even one red flag anywhere that would make you hesitate. If I had to pick one thing, I would say that, I met with Griffin, Trajan, and then with the entire front office, and then with Griff again. And so I think if it was one thing, it was really my connection, and not just mine and my wife's connection with Griff, to where I really came to believe in him, and not only his vision for the team, that was important, but just the type of person he is and how he wants to operate.
Hey, Stan, I'm Christian Clark with NOLA.com. This roster is loaded with guys who are 25 or younger. How is coaching a team different or unique, you know, when it has a bunch of young guys as opposed to a team that has guys in their, you know, second, third, fourth contracts?
Yeah, I don't know that it's all that much different. I think the one thing is, and I've already talked to our players, and I don't want them, certainly, or us, to ever use that youth as an excuse. You know, I think sometimes you can start with, oh, well, we were young, and that's why we turned the ball over three times in the last 2 minutes of a tied game. You know, listen, they're all great players, and they came into this league young because of their talent. It's time to play and compete, and so I don't want to use that as an excuse. But as far as the coaching, you know, what makes it different is, yeah, there's a lot of teaching to do and to bring these guys along. The NBA game is different than the college game in some ways, and learning all of those things, there has to be more teaching. There has to be a real emphasis placed on their development. They are far from finished products at this point in their career, no matter how good they are. And we have to keep that in mind every day.
This question is for both Stan and for Griff. This is Scott Kushner with the Times-Picayune. You've mentioned accountability. I heard, I think everybody has already mentioned the word accountability. The most important person, I guess you could say, that all of you have to hold accountable is Zion Williamson. What is, you know, your strategy or your mission or whatever you could call it to connecting with Zion and then holding him accountable to developing into the superstar that you think he can or should be?
Griff, you want to go first on that one?
Yeah, so, Scott, thanks for the question, first of all. I would take exception to he's the most important person that we need to hold accountable. Part of what we're trying to build here is nobody is more important than anybody else. This is a we thing. And one of the things that we're most excited about relative to Zion is he feels the same way. He doesn't want to be put on a pedestal. He doesn't want to be singled out in any way, shape, or form. And accountability starts with you're just one of us. And I think Coach Van Gundy would agree with that. It's certainly been how he's built his teams to this point.
I absolutely agree with that. And here's the other part of that. I think sometimes when we're talking about accountability, you know, we start to think of, you know, the coach or the GM or the vice president, whoever it is, you know, coming down on people. And that's not it. A lot of it is in talking to Zion and, you know, which I've talked to him on the phone. I can't wait to sit down with him in person. But as Griff said, it's with everybody on our team and getting a feel for what their goals are and where they want to go in their career and what they want to see this team do. And then trying to help them get to that point and hold them accountable to those things that they know they need to do to get there. And a lot of times that's what accountability is all about is, hey, you know, you told me you want to be the best player in the NBA. You told me that you want to be part of a championship team. And then you also told me these are the things it takes. Well, I'm going to hold you accountable to that every day. So it's not us coming down on Zion or anybody else on the roster. It's us trying to help them. And accountability is a big part of that.
What's up, Stan? This is Will Guillory with The Athletic. It's been a little over 2 years since the last time you coached in a game. I wonder how long did you expect to be away from coaching that long, and how much has your perspective changed during that time?
I didn't have expectations, Will, one way or another, as far as how long I would be away. But I do think the time away, I've been through it before, I think it helps in that, you know, you sort of get out of that tunnel vision mode of your own team and you see what's going on with everybody and what works, what doesn't work, things you like, things you don't like. It allows you to really zero in on that and I think grow a great deal and open up to different perspectives. So, you know, I kept notes for 2.5 years on games that I watched, on
things I heard in clinics, on coaches that I talked to, and all of those things will allow me to be even better this time around.
Hi, Coach. We're so excited to have you in New Orleans. This is Jen Hale, the sideline reporter for the Pelicans and Fox Sports New Orleans. Give us a little rundown of what you like about the team. Where are the strengths in this roster versus what do you anticipate being some of the changes we'll see on the court when the season begins?
Thanks, Jen. Look, as I said before, the thing that's most exciting to me is I think when Griff and Trajan and their team started putting together this roster last year, there's a great mix. There's a lot of exciting young talent with the potential to really grow into something great. But alongside of them, you've got some very productive, high character veterans. So, you know, with great experience. So that to me, that mix is the most exciting thing. As we get more specific, I think, you know, it's a team that has proven they can play with great pace. There's incredible depth on the team. You've got a lot of people who can shoot the ball. And then you've got two of the most unique young guys in the entire league. Brandon Ingram, who's, you know, the most improved player in the league, is one of those, you know, really tall, long guys who plays like a point guard who can get to anywhere on the floor and score the ball. And then I don't even know the comparison to Zion. He's unique in the way he plays. But this is a guy coming off an injury for most of the year that was able to come in and be extremely productive and efficient. There's just not people like that. So, you know, there's just a lot to build around there. As far as changes, it's not a change when I'm talking, and I love that Griff started this whole thing off by giving so much credit to Alvin, because Alvin's a guy that I've always had great respect for, both as a coach and as a person. So it's never a comparison between Alvin did it this way, I'm going to do it this way. A lot of it is just where we are in the development of this team. And I think it's clear just by the numbers that where this team has to get better is at the defensive end of the floor. And we're going to have to make a real commitment at that end. From a coaching staff point of view, that commitment is to do a great deal of teaching and getting down to where we really understand what we're doing on that end of the floor. And from a player's point of view, the players are going to have to make the commitment that if we want to win at a high level in a very, very talented Western Conference, then we are going to have to be a very good defensive team, and they're going to have to put in the time and effort. So it's all of us have to make the commitment to get better at that end.
Rod Walker, go ahead.
Hey, Stan, going back, this is Rod Walker with the Times-Picayune, sort of going back to what Will Guillory asked you, but how much did you actually miss coaching these past two seasons?
Yeah, you always miss it. So at first, you know, it's like anything. You're in the grind, and you're grinding, and then you get away from it. And, you know, for a few months, it's nice to not have it on your mind. But then the season starts up again, and you're watching games and taking notes like I always do and things like that, and your mind starts working and you want to get back to that. And the longer it goes, the more you want to get back to it. And for me, broadcasting the games in the bubble and being just sort of immersed in basketball for 3 months there, 2.5, 3 months, yeah, you're sort of itching to get back to it. You're seeing things on a daily basis that you like and don't like and can think about implementing with a team. So, yeah, I missed it a great deal, and I'm excited to be back at it. But, again, would have still only done it in a great situation. I was not in a situation where I would have just taken any job. There was only one job I even tried to get involved with. That was this job, and it was because of all the things that we talked about before, and I'm really excited to coach this group.
Hey, Stan. Christian Clark with NOLA.com here one more time. You're one of the few people in the NBA who has perspective of, you've held the dual role of president of basketball operations and coach. Of course, before that, you're just a coach, but a couple years from removed from that, I'm just curious, you know, what your perspective is on, you know, having that much on your plate. Not that that is necessarily the case now.
Right. No, I will say this. I mean, one of the things I'm really excited about is just getting back into a coaching role and letting Griff and Trajan and Swin and Bryson worry about that other stuff. Griff mentioned the other day, me watching a draft candidate, and I started like shaking, like, I'm not sure that's what I want to do. I'm really excited about just being able to zero back in on our roster, developing the players that we have, and getting our team to play the best basketball, you know, that we possibly can. That is one of the really exciting things for me coming back after this short layoff.
Hey, Stan, this is Andrew Lopez with ESPN. Two questions for you, if I may. One, can you talk about the relationship you have with J.J. Redick and how that maybe played a role into this? And then when you were talking about the defense, you mentioned your assistant coaches. Have you decided anything as to what your coaching staff will look like this year?
Okay, that my relationship with JJ is one that I, you know, treasure. JJ and I were together 5 years in Orlando. I saw him work every single day, one of the most focused, committed people I have seen in 25 years in this league. And just somebody who's very thoughtful about the game, but about everything in life. So he's somebody that I've stayed in touch with over these last 8 years when we haven't been together. I have great respect for him. And one of the things that he said to me, and probably the most important thing is he said, we have great people on this team. These are all great people. There's not one bad guy here. Stan, you're going to love coaching this team. And so that was meaningful to me because I know when JJ talks about somebody being a great person, a teammate, I know what his standards are, and they're very high. And so that was meaningful to me. As far as staff, that's something that Griff and his group in the front office and I are working on together. And right now, we don't have anything that we're ready to announce, but we're moving along on that front. And, you know, I think we've got some outstanding candidates and some very good ideas. And that should come together relatively soon. The way the NBA is going, we might be starting training camp next Monday. So, you know, we probably get a staff sometime over the weekend, I guess.
Hey, Stan, this is Will Guillory again from The Athletic. Going back to my first question, just throughout all those notes you've taken and all the games you've watched, how much do you think, and what specific ways do you think the league has changed since you've been gone, and how much do you think your coaching philosophy will have to adjust because of those changes?
Well, first of all, Will, I should be asking you a question. How many pairs of kicks we got back there, my man?
I'm nowhere near Andrew Lopez, that's for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Look, the game continues to evolve and change, but some of it starts to come back full circle. So we continue to see the 3-point shooting rising, you know, the number of attempts. Because of that, the amount of switching in the league defensively has gone up, and changes the way you need to play offensively. I think we've seen more zone defense. You know, and that changes you offensively. Certainly positionless basketball is becoming more and more of a reality. But a lot of people want to refer to things as small ball. And I think, you know, what we're really seeing is the value of big skilled players. So it's perimeter ball, not small ball. And that allows you to do things at both into the floor. But look, as the game changes, you always have to adjust as a coach. Every night you have to adjust based on who you're playing. So it's not like the game is dramatically different than it was in 2018, the last time I was coaching, where I'm coaching a whole different sport. There's just things that you've got to do a little bit differently, and there's some different actions that people favor that you probably need to spend a little bit more time working on than we did a couple of years ago.
Scott Kushner again with the Times-Picayune. Stan, where do you kind of envision Zion's role? Is he a five? Is he a four? I mean, the way the NBA is right now is obviously so different than it was even 5 years ago. He's a unique body type with unique skill set. Do you have to kind of go through a preseason to know what he is, or do you have like a vision for him in your head right now?
I would say both on that, right? I think you have a vision for what he is, which is a multi-talented guy. I mean, he is an unbelievable playmaker for a guy at his size. He's a guy who can take the ball off the glass and lead the break and make plays. He can make passes off of the dribble. He can finish over bigger people inside. I mean, you know, he's a multi-talented guy. I don't look at him in any way as far as is he a four or a five. I'm not sure those labels matter when it comes to him. I think as we study and try to get more definitive and talk to Zion about what he likes, I think it's more what positions we want to put him in and who's best around him and things like that. It's not limiting him to a position. And I think we'll get to a starting point of that at the start of the season. And my guess is, as time goes on, I'm going to find out that he can do even more than I think he can do. And things will evolve from there.
Coach, this is David Grubb with thebirdrights.com. First, welcome to New Orleans. Second, one of the things that I've heard you talk about a lot when you were addressing the Pelicans prior to taking this job was understanding how talented this backcourt was, and utilizing some positionless situations for Lonzo Ball. Also, you talked about the front court and improving the interior defense. How do you get Lonzo maximized in the half court? And then how do you start addressing those defensive problems on the interior for this team?
Well, I think for one thing, you know, I'm going to start with the second question is when you're talking interior defense, people tend to focus just on the big guys themselves. I would say the first thing on interior defense is let's try to keep the ball out of the interior. If the ball is getting in to the heart of the defense on a regular basis, we're going to have problems. Our defense is going to get broken down, and we're going to get into foul trouble, and those poor big guys are going to constantly be in compromising situations. So I don't think we can leave it to just those guys on the inside. But there's a lot of – once the ball does break you down, and inevitably it will against good teams, there's a lot of ways to play interior defense. You know, there are guys who are shot blockers like Jackson Hayes is going to be. There are guys who are great position defenders and really understand the principle of verticality. There are guys who are really physical. There are guys who will take charges. And we need all of that. It's not just our big guys playing interior defense. You know, everybody's got to be willing to put themselves between the ball and the basket and prevent the ball getting to the rim. So I think interior defense is huge. But I think sometimes we tend to place the burden on that just on a couple guys, like everything else with defense or offense for that matter. It's a team thing, keeping the ball away from the rim. And we're going to have to do a lot of work in that regard. And I also forgot your first question now.
I'm sorry, Coach, but it was just about, you talked about Lonzo maybe being a little bit more positionless, using him in the full court to advance the ball and create those opportunities and mismatches. And then in the half court, potentially using him more off the ball Is that something that you noticed in watching film of him and just seeing that maybe that's the next step in his development?
Well, my initial thoughts on Lonzo Ball are this, on the offensive end of the floor. Number one, I don't think there is anyone better in the NBA of advancing the ball up the floor for your team quickly to allow you to go on the attack before the other team's defense is set. So many times in watching the Pelicans, both to do broadcasting and now starting to study our team, there's so many times every game we'll hear catch an outlet or an inbounds pass and advance the ball up the floor on the pass without ever taking a dribble. And that is very unique in the NBA. And I think really puts guys like Drew Holiday, like J.J. Redick for shots, like Brandon Ingram on the attack, like Zion Williamson, that puts them in positions where the defense isn't set and it's tough to get in to help. And then the biggest step that Lonzo took last year is, you know, with his three-point shooting, he improved that greatly. And not only does that help him as a player, but the space it creates on the floor for your other creators, for guys like Drew Holiday and Brandon Ingram is really good for your basketball team. And then the third thing I would say, and this is something I can't say that I know for sure. I'm just saying this from what I'm watching on film. Lonzo Ball seems like a very smart basketball player to me, and smart basketball players eventually figure it out. I went through that with J.J. Redick, right? I mean, he came in. It took him a little bit of time to build his career, but smart, hardworking guys figure it out as time goes on and continue to improve. So I think as good as Lonzo is now, and he's very good, I think that we can expect a good arc of improvement for him over the next few years.
That is your new head basketball coach for the Pelicans, Stan Van Gundy. As you can hear, Jordan and John, we could continue to just listen there. I mean, that's about 35, 40 minutes of just basketball talk there. The guy knows his hoops. That's one of the reasons.
He does.
We'll come back, wrap the show up. Matt Moscone after further review. It's coming up at the top of the hour. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Just an average man with an average life.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabe at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Whether for a restaurant or an online purchase, when you see five stars, you know it's the best. The same is true for healthcare. Thibodeau Regional Health System is proud to have earned five stars from CMS for highest quality care. A five-star rating is the highest possible score, and Thibodeau Regional is the only hospital in South Louisiana to have earned five stars. Proof of the high quality of care you and your family will receive at Thibodeau Regional.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. John, Jordan, you and I were just listening to Stan Van Gundy there as he's being introduced. Again, some of the things that stood out, David Griffin saying, hey, look, he wanted a proven winner. He went over his record. He said he is a guy that's a teacher, that he felt that was important for this young roster. He also said right now is the best chance to win now and to establish a foundation to win continuously in the future. As for SVG, he said the three things that sold him on the job, the executive, the leadership. We touched on that, Jordan, when we were talking about the importance and key of being able to sell David Griffin, Trajan Langdon, Swin Cash. That's going to help you sell and ownership that they're all in. And he said that. He said that the roster in the city were all three aspects that sold him.
I'm going to go over to something that we talk about on Thursday with Jason the past 2 weeks. It's very interesting that Stan Van Gundy chose New Orleans because there was a bunch of other teams that wanted to have Stan Van Gundy as their head coach. But as you heard in that press conference, it had to be the perfect situation. And that perfect situation was the